Good morning, Evangel. Good to see you here on this rainy, humid morning. We invite you to stand with us. While we were praying in the back, we were reminding ourselves that the veil is torn, that we can stand in this place and we can say, King of Heaven, come. Holy Spirit, come. You're welcome here. And what an audacious thing that is. We are welcome into His presence, and we are able to invite Him to be evident in this place, to change us, to move us, to convict us, to call us into deeper relationship with Him. So we invite you this morning to join us, to sing, to clap, to raise your hands, to find a posture of praise and worship that you can tell your King, your great I Am, your Savior, your Father, the one who has bought you, the one who has paid for your sins, the one who loves you more than anybody ever could, that you can tell Him He is the King of Kings. You ready, church?
The earth is awakening. The mountains are trembling. The oceans hold their breath. For this holy moment,
the heavens
stand to their feet, as life like the river springs up from the thirsty land. Collision of God and man,
and holy,
holy is the cry of saints and sinners reconciled. Church is rising up with fire that can't be stopped.
The darkness is breaking.
The darkness is breaking now.
Yes.
Drown out in a sea of stars. Your church is rising up.
Shout it out,
for the hope we found, for the Forever, God is faithful. Forever.
faithful. Why don't you say hi to somebody before you're seated this morning? Thank you. You may be seated. Well, good morning. Welcome to Evangel today. For those of you who are here in the building and for those of you who are joining us online, we are glad you're here, a part of our service today. If you are in the building and it is your very first time here, we want to extend a special welcome to you and tell you that we would like to offer to come alongside you, to support you, to encourage you, to pray for you, and to serve you in any way that we can. And so the way we've chosen to do that is to ask you to fill out a connection card that you'll find in the chair pocket in front of you. If you fill that out, and at the end of the service, you can take it to the information desk in the foyer, and someone will be there. They'll take that. There's a small gift for you. If you want us to contact you, please indicate that on the card, and we'll be prompt to do that. So we're just so glad that you're here today. I do have a couple of announcements. I want to welcome Jennifer back today. She loves attention, so she's very happy that I did that. Today we have it's the last day to sign up for our youth fundraiser, and our youth will be participating in an event upcoming in a few weeks, a district event, and they're raising funds to help cover the support of that. And so there is going to be a barbecue dinner available next Sunday after the service for those who have signed up and have paid by today. So today is the deadline. You have to sign up and you have to pay today. It's $10 per person. And also you have to pay cash. We can't do e-transfer for this event. So just to simplify it, it's cash only. And you need to indicate how many dinners you're signing up for. And there is a choice between hot dogs and hamburgers. You have to indicate that. That sign-up will be at the information desk. So at the end of the service, you can go by there and sign up and be a part of that a great lunch that we'll have together next Sunday, but also in supporting our youth as they head out on their event. Today after the service is also a coffee social day. And so at the end of the service, you're invited to go to the cafe area in the foyer, and you can get some coffee, tea, and some cookies there, and hang around for a little while, have a seat inside here, and just hang out, get to maybe meet some new people, or just to catch up with some people you've known for a while. So that's going to happen after the service today. Because of the rain yesterday, we had to reschedule our property cleanup. It's now rescheduled for Saturday, May the 11th. At 10 a.m. till noon, and if you can be there, that would be great. We didn't reschedule for next week because next week is the morning we serve breakfast at Kerr, and we didn't want to conflict with that. So May 11th. And then on behalf of Sue Ketty, we're just letting you know that there is an Always Sisters Conference for Women coming up on May 24th and 25th, and there's more information at the information desk about that if you are interested. And then Pastor Scott asked me to say that there is youth this week at 7 p.m. on Thursday. All righty. Well, that's all of the announcements. If you have children that are newborn to age 3, we have a nursery available to you all through the service. Through these doors, down the stairs, and on your left is the nursery. You can check your child in there anytime during the service. Also, children ages 4 up to grade 5, you are free to go at this time. You're going to go downstairs with your volunteers, and parents just pick them up down there when the service is over. I'm going to invite our hospitality team to receive our morning tithes and offerings. If you would like to contribute electronically, you can send an e-transfer to giving@epcoakville.com. Thank you. God bless you as you continue to worship this morning.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and shame is undone. In your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Would you stand and sing? There's nothing.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord.
Taste it.
I've tasted seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord,
Holy Spirit.
What our hearts long for, to be yours. I have never walked alone. I've never been abandoned. You are my inheritance. You are my strength and shield, and I have confidence. You go before me. You're my deliverer. I know I never walk alone.
Your heart is for us.
Your heart is for me. Your ear is there.
God, you're faithful.
Hallelujah.
know the enemy can't take what I have, change who I am, I belong to you. You know the enemy can't take what I have, change who I am.
The enemy can't me to repentance. Your goodness draws me to your side. Your mercy calls me to be like you.
You are good. You are good.
Us in the valley. It follows us in the mountain. It follows us in the dry periods. It follows us in the lush times. And so with a sense of humility, we stand in this place together. And we ask, Spirit of God, that as you are present here, that you would remind us. That you would remind us. And may it bring you pleasure and honor and glory that we stand in humility in this house and say we are yours for your purpose and your glory. Amen.
Amen. Our scripture reading today is found in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. And says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news quickly spread that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Thank you. You may be seated. And thank you, worship team, for leading us today. It's always awesome to see some of our young people join the worship team as well. So that was awesome to see. Youth ministry has been a major part of my life for the better majority of my life. You know, I went through junior high mostly begrudgingly as an angsty middle schooler. Through high school as a teenager, figuring out his place in the world, and then as a leader to both of those ministries as a college student who was getting ready to leave for Bible college for formal education and youth ministry. As of this coming October, I will have been working in youth ministry for 10 years, and man, the stories that I could tell. There's really nothing quite like youth ministry where you could have a powerful worship service where you get to see students learn and encounter Jesus and then follow that up by turning off all the lights in the basement, dressing a youth leader in an inflatable T-Rex costume, and having him chase our students full force down the basement hallway. You think I'm joking? That happened a few months ago. I love youth ministry. Because not only have I been called to do this for a living, but I have been where our students are now, sitting in a church, involved in a youth ministry, invested in by mentors and people that I could look up to, listen to, and prayed for in the most difficult times of my life, and equipped to follow God after graduation and into adulthood. Because of all this and so much more, I can tell you this morning that youth ministry is not just important, but it is essential. Our young people aren't just important, but they are essential to our church. Today, I'm excited to continue our spring series that's titled, This Is Us. And this series is all about the practices that we value here at EPC because in our striving to become the spiritual community that we believe Jesus desires us to be, it's important to examine the things that we put emphasis on, not only as believers, but as a church family. And so I was asked to speak on youth ministry, not only the importance of it, but also the things that we are doing in our youth ministry here at EPC. And I hope you'll join me in agreement when I say this morning that our young people are important. I hope you'll agree with me when I say this morning that seeing teenagers grow up in their faith and become mature followers of Jesus is one of the greatest joys for a church. 2 weeks ago, seeing five of our young people declare their faith publicly by being baptized in water, it was a beautiful example of that. As a youth pastor and for the youth leaders past and present in this room, we've gone through the junk food, the loud music, the late nights, the awkward conversations, and countless other perceived inconveniences because we recognize that growing teenagers into disciples is not just the desired outcome of the ministry, but it's a unique and holy privilege. But we've also discovered along the way that youth ministry is this great adventure and a wild and fun ride, because in the midst of the loud music and the late nights and more, you get to see young people have encounters with a loving God. And it brings me great joy to say that that is what we've been seeing here at EPC. Before we begin, I just want to give you a quick highlight of our youth ministry. If you don't know much about our youth program here at EPC, or if you're new here, just as a brief glance, our ministry runs every Thursday night from 7 to 9 p.m., and it's for all students grades 6 to 12. Every week, we have an amazing team of leaders who make everything just work. Right? I know I am the youth pastor and I know this is my job, but these people are the ones who volunteer their time every single week because they love our students. And without them, none of what you hear today will be possible. So yes, thank you to our leaders who volunteer every single week. So please make sure to go out of your way at some point this morning and thank them for all the work that they do for the next generation here in our community. But on a regular youth night, there are three pillars to what we do. Fellowship, service, that being worship, message, and small group, and then games. And you may ask, are games really a pillar in youth ministry? And let me tell you that nothing fosters connection and memories and relationships more than making teenagers play some of the craziest games that you can imagine. But I digress. What does youth ministry have to do with the passage of Scripture that we started with this morning? I believe that this Scripture is an accurate illustration of youth ministry. In this account, four men brought their paralyzed friend on a mat to the feet of Jesus. How? Through one of the most creative ways we see in the New Testament. The doorways and windows were jam-packed, no way in. And so they brought their friend through a hole they made in the roof. How great is that? Right? And I believe this is a picture of youth ministry, not just the idea of swinging people from rooftops, but the idea of bringing young people to the feet of Jesus in the most creative ways available to us. As youth pastor, my ultimate goal is for students to know Jesus, to love Jesus and to serve Jesus. How that's done is often in ways that meet students where they are and help them to reach the feet of Jesus, to know his love and care for their lives. Youth ministry is important because it is through ministries like it that the next generation comes to know Jesus. And so this morning, I want to share with you three different pillars or values that highlight the importance of youth ministry in general, why we as a church consider it important in relation to youth ministry, and how our own youth ministry here at Evangel has been impacted by these values. I encourage you not to see this as just a ministry update this morning, but as a call to action to support, pray for, and invest into the students, both who call EPC their home and those in the community around us. And so let's start in with our first point this morning, and that's on community building. The first thing I want to highlight from our passage this morning is the effectiveness of purposeful community. The effectiveness of purposeful community. This incident is unique in the gospel accounts of people who were healed by Jesus. Many times, people in need were able to reach Jesus themselves and ask for help. The woman who touched the hem of his garment was able to push through the crowd around him and received healing for a long-standing illness. The 10 lepers, rejected by society and pitied and feared by friends, were able to appeal for cleansing. Even blind Bartimaeus was able to cry out loud enough to attract Jesus' attention and receive his sight. But it is in this account that we see that the relationships this paralyzed man has, the community that and the people that surround him, are the ones who plan and act to bring him to Jesus. So just to set the scene a little bit, this takes place in Capernaum, where Jesus has returned to and word has spread up throughout the community. It didn't take long before the house where he was staying was packed so tightly. I can only imagine how hot it must be with all these people packed tightly together in this house, spilling out of the windows and the doorways, and everyone just trying to stay quiet to hear every single word that Jesus uttered. And I can only imagine, without any warning at all, the people sitting closest to Jesus are suddenly feeling dust and small pieces of roofing falling down on top of them. And as they look up, they see a hole begin to open in the roof. The glare of the sun shines in as the heads of four men quickly peer down through the hole to get a sense of space before beginning to lower their friend by rope, laying on a mat to the feet of Jesus so that he may receive healing. Youth ministry is important because it gives young people a purposeful community. People who won't hesitate to carry the mat, so to speak, when the other needs them to. One of the things that I valued the most from my time growing up in youth ministry was the sense of community that was fostered between the students there. Not only do I have lifelong friends made from my time in youth ministry, in fact, I've been in some of their weddings and some of them were in mine, but it helped me keep me invested as I knew that these people weren't just going to be the ones I met with once a week to play games and talk over my youth pastor to, but ones who would actively challenge me to continue living out my faith. Who would pray for me and I for them in our times of need, who would stand shoulder to shoulder together as we grew up and followed God's plan for our lives. In fact, it was in the most difficult time in my life that my community at youth helped carry my mat. Not only that, but we were brought together in an environment that was always safe and always open to us, asking the questions that we had about faith, allowed us to work through the times of doubt that we did have as young people. Fostering that strong sense of community in youth ministry is vital for the students that we desire to teach Jesus to. And I believe that it's this desire amongst myself and our youth leaders for an authentic, safe, and caring student community that has helped shape where we find our student community today. So where we find our student ministry today is one that is shaped by purposeful community. There's a vast age difference between a grade 6 student and a grade 12 student. It's true. But often our students and leaders all mingle together and feel like one cohesive community. In our small groups, all voices from youngest to oldest are valued, and we often learn from one another and our own unique experiences with faith. When a new student comes, we are intentional of first connecting them to one of our adult leaders and then connecting them to another student that is close in age, if possible. By doing so, immediately walking through our doors, any young person knows and feels like this is a place that cares about me. My favorite response from a student who started coming out regularly was, "Wow, this is a lot more fun than I thought it would be." Right? All because that student felt like they belonged there right when they walked through the doors. Researchers from the Fuller Youth Institute defined belonging as the sense that one is connected to and can trust a community in which one can exert influence, have one's needs met, and mutually share emotional connection with others. From this definition, we can see that belonging is not just having a community around us, but rather having a community where you can influence others, where you can have your needs met and share genuine emotional connections with those around you. When all three factors are present, students continually come back to church because they will feel a sense of belonging they haven't found anywhere else. Most of us are familiar with, and actually, to be truth be told, have probably overly quoted the movie Elf. At the emotional height of the movie, Buddy the Elf is writing a letter on an Etch-a-Sketch, and says, "I don't belong here. I don't belong anywhere." Instant tearjerker. Right? And if you feel that line, it's probably because you felt that same sting of rejection and the desire to belong at one point or another. Everywhere we look, there are broken relationships, there are fractured families, and an anthem of loneliness beating from the hearts of adolescents who are craving genuine community and true belonging. We know that the church can be a place where they feel loved and seen and accepted. But my heart breaks when I hear of churches that haven't been safe places for young people to grow. I want students to know that this church is for them. So instead of leaving church saying, "I don't belong here, I don't belong anywhere," our mission is for all young people to leave knowing that they have a safe place to attend, to serve, to grow, and belong. all students should be able to have full confidence in having a community who they trust will be the ones to help carry the mat in their time of need. And our second point this morning, life transforming. In our passage of Scripture, we read about how the paralyzed man who was lowered on the mat by his friends was first forgiven of sins by Jesus before being healed of his condition. I do wonder how those friends must have felt bringing their friend on the mat to Jesus for physical healing, only for him to instead forgive the man of his sins. But Jesus was impressed with the faith of the friends, and to be fair, it's hard not to be. Honestly, when I read about the ceiling damage and the hapless man being lowered from the rooftop, it sounds a lot more like my first years in youth ministry more than the hushed mob attentively listening to the teacher's every word. But the truth is that this account is very close to how we do youth ministry. And that's because this account is more than just divine power. It's about four people who believed that Jesus would make a difference in their friend's life and did everything in their power to get him to Jesus. And it's from those steps of faith towards an encounter with Jesus that this man who was once paralyzed had his life transformed. Later on in our passage, Mark chapter 2, 11 to 12, says, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." In the Bible, transformation means, according to Romans 12:2, change or renewal from a life that no longer conforms to the ways of the world to one that pleases God. This is accomplished through salvation, by proclaiming Jesus as Lord and Savior, and continues to the renewing of our minds. It's an inward spiritual transformation that will manifest itself in outward actions. Transformation involves those who were once far from God being drawn near to him through the work that Jesus did on the cross. Youth ministry is important because it is the place where young people can encounter Jesus and have their lives transformed so that they too may become more like him. It's not meant to be a conveyor belt that works to move students from start in grade 6 to finish in graduation. Right, youth ministry isn't a distribution system intended to just hold them over until they reach adulthood. That wasn't Jesus' outlook when dealing with people. He wasn't healing them casually and sending them on their way without care or second thought. No, Jesus was concerned with the hearts and the souls of his people. And this applies to almost all ministries in general, but in regards to our context today, youth ministry is meant to be this ever-evolving place where Jesus freely works in the lives of students on an individual basis with the end goal of true life change. My favorite moments in ministry are the ones where I get to see students worshiping Jesus and walking away from that experience different than they were when they began. Many of you heard 2 weeks ago of different students sharing their individual stories of how they came to know Jesus and chose to have a relationship with him. And those are amazing testimonies of God's goodness in the lives of these students. But in those times of worship, I get to look around and I see our young people allowing themselves to make room for God and allowing themselves to be transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit in each of their lives. And even beyond just the times where our students are coming here and are worshiping together and having those experiences, what I love even more is that our students are then going out. Right? They get to come here and be here on a Thursday night, and then they have the chance to go into their schools and friend groups the next day and live out in practical ways the very same love that they too have received. We need to be praying for our students that they may have those moments where they can be that loving presence to someone who is alone, where they can care for the person that doesn't feel cared for, where they can be the hands and feet of Jesus in community. My prayer and the summary of my calling and the calling of our youth leaders is for our young people to have that life-transforming experience at the feet of Jesus and leave changed in such a way that those around them will be saying, just like those who heard Jesus forgive the sins of the paralyzed man, "We've never seen anything like this before." Youth ministry is important because it is a place where students are able to encounter the life-changing presence of a God who loves them more than anyone ever could and empowers them to live outwardly transformed lives. So for our third point this morning, culture shaping. There was one point a while back, I listened to a podcast on youth ministry, and a question was posed to everyone listening. Do you believe your students can shape the culture in which they live? Do you believe that your students can shape the culture in which they live? It's a good question, right? If we wanted to define culture very simply, it can be described as a set of values, beliefs, and way of life for a group of people. The truth is that this generation of students has a culture that is different from yours. It has a culture that is even different from our young adults who are only a few years removed from youth ministry. So if culture is a set of beliefs, values, and a way of life for a group of people, then developing culture-shaping students will mean that students shape the beliefs and the values and the ways of life for those around them. It means they will have an impact in the places that God has placed them. So when I heard this question that was posed, my answer was a resounding yes, and as I hope that answer is for you as well. But the truth is that isn't the answer for everyone. It isn't the answer for everyone. For lots of people, students are considered too young or immature to make a culture-shaping difference in the world today. Many young people grow up without believing that they can shape the culture around them. Even in youth ministry, so many get distracted by thinking that it's about teaching students to stay out of trouble or live right or even read their Bibles more, which all good things, right? But it goes so much further beyond that in ministry. Youth ministry is important because God has called his young people to do great things for him, and that in his strength and power, they can truly be a culture-shaping influence in our world today. It's so important for our students to recognize their role as a follower of Jesus, to recognize that it is to engage in and shape the culture around them. We see biblical evidence for this too in Matthew 5. Here Jesus uses three pictures to illustrate a believer's role in the world. Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth, a city on a hill, and a light placed on a lampstand. All three of these show us that our faith isn't meant to be lived out quietly, hidden away. To be a follower of Jesus is to be a culture-shaping influence. And instilling this belief of being a culture-shaping influence, it goes far beyond just teaching or telling students that's what they are. That's an important part, don't get me wrong, but on its own, it's not enough. And so that's why my leaders and I started one of the most exciting initiatives I believe that this ministry has taken in my time here, and that's in developing a team of student leaders. Right now, every Thursday, we have a team of 5 young people who take on various roles throughout each youth night to lead in various ways. We have also been intentionally teaching them and developing their sense of leadership through leader-specific events and discipleship. And you may be thinking, what's the need for a student leadership team when you have adult volunteers? And there are many answers to this, but one of the more important ones to me is it provides buy-in for students coming to our program. It's entirely different when an almost 30-year-old redhead greets a teenager at the door versus when it's another teenager welcoming a peer to our event. Or when other young people see their friends lead worship or even share their testimony or lead in some way during the night. Students have many options when it comes to how they're going to spend their time. And like most people, they assign value to each of those options. When you create a student leadership team, you not only add value to them as individuals, but you allow them to add value to the ministry as well. It becomes a culture of having seen the other adult leaders do it and now getting to do it themselves and be mentored and led by those who have done it before. They begin to understand and see the potential they have as not just followers of Jesus, but people who have influence, real lasting influence in their homes and their schools and their communities and workplaces. And the best part about this is that not only are the effects of having students in leadership roles shape the direction of the ministry itself, it also shapes the direction of the church as a whole. This morning, for example, there are young people represented in almost every volunteer team, from worship to kids' church to sound and tech to even ushering or the team that are welcoming you. In fact, it's very rare to have a Sunday service where our young people aren't getting involved in some aspect of church life. And I believe that this is something we need to be celebrating regularly, because our young people are capable of so much, and allowing them to lead in the church using their God-given gifts prepares them for future leadership as well as present service. It shows them that not only do we believe that they are capable, but we are investing in their ability to shape the culture by letting them live out their faith in a very practical way. I told you at the beginning of the message this morning that this message shouldn't be seen just as a ministry update, but to see it as a call to action. That is this part, so I hope you're ready. But the call I want to put out to you now is twofold. The first is for congregation members who don't have a child in the youth ministry. I challenge you to get to know our students, to talk to them on a regular basis, to ask them questions, to offer them your own lived faith experience. This is more than a warm hello or a smile and a wave. Our students don't bite, I promise. They're really cool. You don't have to be afraid of them. Allow them to understand that they are part of a church where there is a feeling of and value placed in intergenerational connection. There's a lot of statistics out there regarding how many students walk away from faith and church following graduation. But if you read some of those, there is a general consensus that local congregants play a big role in helping students stay in the faith if they invest into them. And you may think, well, isn't that what we pay you to do? But this excludes my role. Students need faith role models outside of just the youth pastor, too. Many of those statistics articles will tell you that if there are a small handful of young adults, adults, seniors, parents, apart from those directly involved in the youth ministry, investing into the lives of our students, then there is an overall increased likelihood of their faith continuing long into their young adult years and beyond. For us to be a church that is communally healthy and thriving, might I suggest that for that to happen, we need to make intergenerational connection a priority. Because the future of the church hinges on our young people. And the vision of the church needs to include integrating our children and youth into the church today, not someday. When the entire body of Christ, both younger and older, intentionally and collectively serve our young people, the tapestry of the Christian faith becomes more vibrant and more appealing and enduring for our students. With intergenerational integration, teenagers gain a fuller and more authentic picture of what lifelong faith looks like and sets them up to have a faith that, again, will last them through their young adult years and into adulthood. And the second part of this call to action is for families with students. I will always say and advocate that youth ministry is never just ministry to youth. It's ministry to the whole family. And there's this beautiful partnership between church and family that can take place when both are working together for the sake of Jesus. Parents, you aren't alone in working to nurture the hearts of your young people. You are not alone in your effort, and nor should you be alone. And that's where I believe the church as a whole should be excelling in ways that many churches throughout history haven't, in being the support for families and for teenagers and for kids and helping widen that circle of influence for families in need of support. It's about a community of faith that can support and uplift you and the family as a whole. For teenagers in particular, this is so important. I want all young people to know that you are invaluable as part of this church. You have a community of people who will always have your back, cheer you on, support you, and mentor you, help you navigate through your deepest questions about life and faith. That's why our youth leaders do what they do every single week and give of our time, because our hearts are for you. And for parents, I want you to also know that this church is a safe place for your family. It is a safe place for your kids to learn and grow in like-minded community. And so my challenge to all the parents in this room and or online this morning is to stand with our youth ministry. Stand with our youth ministry. Ask how you can get involved. Encourage your students to get connected with this amazing community of young people here. In a culture where community is not automatic and role models are limited, church and family must work together to allow the next generation to grow and thrive in their faith. The church is for you, parents. The church is for you, young people. The church and the family are created to thrive in this beautiful partnership as we work to live out the love of God in our lives and share that very same love with the generations to follow. I'm going to invite the worship team up today. As the worship team comes up to lead, I just want to share a passage to close us off today from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 5. It says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." We've talked a lot about youth ministry this morning and the challenge for us as a church to play a role in the caring of our young people. But it's all for nothing if it isn't done with God at the center of our efforts, our church, our families, and our faith. God is the central character of a story that connects every generation, every adult, parent, child, and family to his goodness. So as we enter into worship one more last time, I invite you to stand as we close off today. And I just want to encourage you that our hope, our truth, our peace, and our firm foundation is in Christ alone. We serve a God who is good and who works in this world to redeem us, to give us hope and joy and peace. God is a God who works in this world to redeem people for the work of sharing the story of faith from generation to generation to generation. We have a lot to celebrate as a church for what God is doing here in our church and in our youth ministry. But I believe the best is yet to come. Let's worship him today. Thank you today for what you are doing in our church, in our community, in our families. Lord, I pray your blessing upon us as we go from this place today. May you continue to teach us and guide us towards what it means to be a church that invests into the lives of our young people, Lord. We thank you for each and every young person in this church that makes up our community, and God, all the things that we do as a church to be able to love on them and to show you or show them your love. God, we pray today for the needs in our congregation. Lord, we think of Richard Watson, and we think of Fernanda's sister Sue. Lord, I continue to pray. We continue to pray for their healing, God, for all that's going on in their lives, for future tests and updates and all that they need to do to go through this process of healing and treatment. Lord, I just pray for your healing touch upon their bodies. God, we love you. We thank you for all that you are doing. We pray this all in your name, Father. Amen. Amen. God bless. Make sure to grab a coffee before leaving. We'll see you next week.